In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When word got to Jesus that his mother Mary and his brothers were standing outside the house asking for him, Jesus responded by rhetorically asking, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And then looking at those who sat around him inside the house, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." As with many cultures to this day, one's allegiance to one's family was particularly prized in Jesus' culture. It was a tenet of the Jewish faith, one that we repeat any time we recite the fifth commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother." So one can imagine that the growing crowd would have been shocked by the boldness of Jesus' retort. Perhaps there were even gasps, followed by silence, and then perhaps grumblings as others repeated what Jesus said to anyone who had not heard him the first time. "Who are my mothers and my brothers? Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Certainly, word would have quickly spread to Mary and Jesus' brothers standing outside the house, given all that we have been told that Mary has been through in her life with Jesus to this point, becoming pregnant with Jesus in a way that put her at great risk, traveling all the way to Bethlehem when she was heavy with child, and delivering Jesus in a stable, for starters. It is easy to imagine that Mary would have been tempted to offer some choice words upon hearing the response of her son inside the house. Maybe something to the effect of, "I don't remember any of these people riding a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to do the will of God." We would not want to accord that to Mary. If anyone in that crowd gathered around Jesus on that day knew about doing the will of God, it was Mary. She is in many ways the model of what it means to do the will of God, to be open to God disrupting and transforming one's life in ways unfathomable, to God's redefining of family and relations in unprecedented ways. In fact, given the strength of her faith, her charitable spirit, and many years of experience with Jesus' bold manner of speaking, it is probably more likely that Mary merely smiled, shook her head, and thought, "That sounds like my son." But Mark's gospel doesn't give us any indication as to how Mary responded when word got back to her that Jesus had not accepted their request. Though we know from other accounts that Mary and at least some of Jesus' brothers were among Jesus' followers and were involved in the life of the early church. And though we may be curious, perhaps a little defensive of Mary, the more important question is, why would Jesus respond to his family's inquiries in this way? What was he trying to teach that crowd on that day through such a startling claim? This passage is found in the third chapter of Mark's gospel, relatively early in Mark's account of the life and ministry of Jesus. Already, though, in this account, the chapters and verses that precede this passage, Jesus has been baptized, has started calling his disciples, He has begun performing miracles of healing. He's begun preaching and teaching throughout the towns of Galilee, proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand and calling people to repentance. The crowds are growing such that Jesus and his followers are having a hard time moving about. Because of the increasing crowds, the spreading word of his miracles, and his willingness to sit and eat with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus has begun to attract the attention and the disapproval of the religious authorities, the scribes and the Pharisees. In the verses from the end of the second chapter and the beginning of the third chapter of Mark's gospel that we heard just last Sunday, Jesus has begun responding to the criticisms of the Pharisees by challenging their notions, their interpretations of proper observance of strict Sabbath restrictions. And as a result, we learned last week, the Pharisees have begun to conspire with the government authorities against Jesus, seeking to destroy him. But the crowds continue to grow, coming from further and further afield. And so in the verses that immediately precede today's passage, Jesus withdraws momentarily to the mountain with his 12 closest followers. And he appoints them as the 12, names them apostles, and gives them authority to proclaim the message and to perform miracles. And with this action, Jesus is forming a new family. A family not defined primarily by the blood of Abraham or the blood of kinship, but rather a family that will ultimately be defined by his blood, the blood of Christ. And then in the passage that we just heard today, Jesus and the newly appointed 12 returned from the mountain, and they went into a house, likely a home belonging to one of the disciples. And the crowds enter the house and surround the house, and word gets to Jesus' family about the increasing size of the crowds, of all the stir that Jesus is causing throughout the region. Perhaps they have heard of the growing disenchantment of the religious authorities and the increasing danger to their beloved son and brother. Folks are beginning to speculate that their brother and son has gone out of his mind. The way that verse is originally written, it could also be understood to say that it is Jesus' own family members who are saying that he has gone out of his mind. And I imagine that most of us have heard family members say that about other family members from time to time. Either way, it is likely that Jesus' newfound fame and notoriety is bringing unexpected and unwanted pressure upon his family. And so they come together and decide to try to talk some sense into Jesus. And whether it be out of love for Jesus, or out of fear for their own safety, or very likely some combination of both, Mary and Jesus' brothers show up at the house hoping to get Jesus to take a break from the crowds that seem to be encouraging him to greater and greater controversy, to get Jesus to step away from this new band of friends, and to get him to come home. And maybe they can talk some sense into him. However, Jesus knows that he is in danger, that the worldly powers are against him. As he explains to the religious authorities that are gathered there, who challenge his authority, Jesus is here to overcome a greater danger. Jesus is here to plunder Satan's house, to free everyone there and to free us from the consequences of our sin. And so Jesus lets the crowd know, lets his mother and his brothers know, lets us know that the blood of Christ is thicker than the blood of kinship. That we have a duty greater than our devotion to our closest relatives. In the waters of baptism, we were each initiated into a new family, Christ's body, the church. And as that family, we share one cup, the cup from which we drink Christ's blood. The blood that was shed for our sins, that heals us, that cleanses us, that binds us together as a family. For many of us, our friendships and our families are likewise bound up into this body, so the lines are not always clear. But as you sit here today, whether you came alone, or you came with parents, or with children, or with brothers or sisters, either way, you are, we are, each of us here today, surrounded by our brothers and our sisters, our mothers and our fathers.